Psalm 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. From this text today, I want to preach on this thought. The company of the forgiven. Father, I thank you for the privilege you've given us today of gathering in your house, reading your word, hearing the songs of Zion, praise unto our Lord. The opportunity you've given us to pray, what a privilege. Now, Father, the responsibility is laid upon us to share the word of God, to preach thy word. And Father, I am sure today that I cannot, but you can. And Lord, if you would just allow us, give us the strength, the energy, give us, Father, the spiritual integrity today, God, to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, empty us of sin, cleanse us of ourselves. Help us today, Lord, that Jesus might be lifted up today, God, from this pulpit and in your house. Lord, teach us your word. Help us to value and to treasure what you do for us. Help us, God, to encourage someone to come amongst the company of the forgiven. And for this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, when I look at you today, I just want to go ahead and confess. I know something about you today. And you know something about me. We all need forgiveness. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need forgiveness from God. And perhaps you're here today and you are seeking or you are needing forgiveness from a person. And you're seeking that today. Maybe you've asked God for forgiveness and you've received forgiveness, but you're not thankful. You just take it for granted. Maybe you've asked God for forgiveness and you've received it, but you can't accept it and you're still carrying around your guilt. Maybe you're here today and you're too ashamed to ask God for forgiveness and you live with your guilt every single day. This is not what God wants for your life. You may say, Pastor Darren, what can I do that I might get forgiveness? Well, Psalm 32 was written by David. We know that David sinned with Bathsheba. We know that David murdered her husband by sending him to the front line of the battlefield. And for at least 9 months, he refused to acknowledge his sin. And you can read in 2 Samuel chapter 12, I believe it is, and Psalm 51, about how David confessed his sin to God and how God forgave his sin. And David in Psalm 32 is looking back at the man he used to be and looking at the man he is now. And in this text, he is encouraging you and encouraging me to become a member of the company of the forgiven. Now remember, there was a time in David's life that he had been a tormented man. He was waiting to get right with God, but he would not confess. Look with me in verses 3 and 4, and we'll see number 1, the bitterness of concealed sin. David said, when I kept silence, in other words, when I refused to acknowledge, when I refused to confess, when I just kept it to myself, now he's silent, and his bones are waxing old through his roaring all the day long. What does that mean? There's a gulf of silence between David and God. David is the sweet psalmist of Israel, penning these psalms, singing to the Lord. He's a man after God's own heart, but all of a sudden, He has no song to sing. All of a sudden, he has no prayer to make. All of a sudden, he has no fellowship with God Almighty. The Bible says in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in mine heart, that God will not hear me. Now, David has been exiled from the throne of Almighty God. He no longer has the access that he once had. Hey, why? Because he chose not to confess his sin. Look at his depletion physically. It says his bones wax silent all the day long. He's carrying the burden of sin, and it's weighing him down because he would not confess his sin. He rather tried to conceal it before God. And here, the weight of sin is wearing on his body. He does not have the strength to bear this load. He does not have the ability to go forward in his life at all. And now he's being depleted physically. He is becoming a worn out old man before his time. Sin will wear on you physically, and you will have physical issues in your life because you will not get right with God. Can I help you for a minute? Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. When you will not confess to God and you try to, well, I've confessed some of it. Honey, do you think God doesn't already know? He already knows all of it. The sum of it. The product of it. He knows it all. Why not just tell him and come clean? I'm not asking you to tell it to me. I'm not asking you to tell it to the church. I'm asking you to tell it to God. So it depletes him physically. Now look second. Now, he is going to have deterioration spiritually. Verse 4. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. God's hand was heavy upon David. Not to remind him of his guilt, but to convict him of his sin that he might get help. God's hand is working. David made this statement one time. He said, my sin is ever before me. And that's because sin robs you of joy. Did you know that when you're a Christian and you're in a storm, you can still get in the choir and sing and have joy? You know why? Because joy is not based on circumstances. You can have joy. But something happens to the Christian. When a Christian gets off in sin, sin robs him of his joy. And now spiritually, he begins to dry up. God's hand was heavy upon him. You know what America tries to do? You know what our churches try to do? We try to drown out conviction. Some people turn to alcohol and drinking. Some people turn to drugs. Some people turn to Facebook and sit on it day and night trying to drown out conviction. But they cannot. The weight of unconfessed sin is so great. There are people who try to deny it. There are people who try to deflect it. They will blame and criticize others. Now, trying to get away from the guilt of their sin. Look at verse 4 again. There is depression emotionally. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. There was a time that David had fellowship with God. He could weep over sinners and he could weep over his own sin. But now, he's turned into a bitter, unhappy, hypercritical person. I prove it to you. When Nathan the prophet came to David, I believe it was probably on the day the baby of Bathsheba and David was born. The man of God came and said, King David, there's a poor man and a rich man. The rich man had herds and flocks and plenty. And the poor man had one little lamb. And he raised that lamb at his table. His children loved it. He was close to it. It even says that that little lamb was to that family and to that man, that poor man, as his own daughter. And a traveler came.
to the rich man's house, who had plenty. And when it was time to get something to eat, rather than going to his own herds and his own flocks, he went to the poor man, maybe he was indebted to him, and he took his one little lamb away from him and dressed it and served it to the weary traveler. And now the poor man is broken. That little lamb that was like his own daughter's gone. The whole family's weeping and tore up. And King David, being a bitter, unhappy, hypercritical man, said, "That man shall die. That man shall, before he dies, shall restore fourfold what he's taken away. How dare he?" And Nathan, the man of God, said, "Thou art the man. You are the one that's had plenty. And if it weren't enough, I would have given you even more and more and more. And yet you went and took Uriah's wife for yourself. Then you sent him to the front line of the battlefield and had him murdered. And now you've taken her as your own wife, trying to hide it, trying to conceal it. Thou art the man." And David could have said, "Get out of here." But see, what sin will do to you unconfessed, you get hypercritical. David could not see his own sin. Have you ever been around somebody like that? They could condemn you and tell you all that you've done wrong, but they think they have no sin and are without error. They're so hypercritical, they cannot figure out they got their own problems. Well, amen, Pastor Dear. I don't know where that come from, but I like it. Amen. Hallelujah. So hypercritical. Now, David, thou art the man. God said, "I'm not going to, if you'll confess your sin," and David confessed, he said, "I've done wrong, I've sinned, I've done wrong, please forgive me." God said, "I'm not going to kill you. I could stone you to death. I'm not going to kill you. But the sword will not depart from your house. And the little baby is going to die." And David begged God, laid on his face day and night, 7 days. But after 7 days, that baby died, just as God said. Sin, unconfessed, will make you bitter. It will deplete you physically. It will deteriorate you spiritually. And it will depress you emotionally. I'm talking to somebody today. You have health issues, emotional issues. There are things going on. And God's not going to let up, honey, until you get right with Him. I know it's not what you want to hear. I want to swing from the chandeliers too. But number two, David in verses 1 and 2 shares with us the blessedness of canceled sin. Now we see the downward progression in David's life, but sin can be forgiven, great or small. Sins of omission, sins of commission. When you have experienced the trauma of an unforgiven, unconfessed life, the devil will convince you that forgiveness is not even possible. That you've gone too far. My sin is so great, it's beyond God's ability to forgive. You don't know my God. God is able. Now we're going to talk about some words here in verses 1 and 2 that are huge words. We want to talk about them real quick. He talks about a man that has transgression. What is transgression? It is defiant disobedience against God. Have you ever seen a child whose mom and daddy says, "Honey, you need to do this right here. I love you, but you need to do this." And the child says, "No, I'm not doing that." I've seen it at school. I've seen teachers at school say, "You need to do this." "No, I'm not doing this." I've seen adults, God say, "You need to do this." "No." It is defiant disobedience, transgression. Look with me. In verse 1 again, he uses another word, sin. What is sin? It is a defect. It is an archer shooting an arrow at a target and missing the mark. Sin is a defect. And guess what? We are all sinners. Don't you get over here and point at so-and-so and say, "Oh, they got a defect. They've missed the mark." My Bible says, "All have come short of the glory of God." Every one of us have sin today. There's another word in verse 2. It is the word iniquity. It's a gross term. It speaks about distortion, perversion, corruption, twisted. There's another word, guile. What is guile? Deception. Deceiving yourself. Snares. Wiles. The pride of planning and motives. Think about all these things of David. David said, "Oh Lord, I am defiant. Oh Lord, I am defective. Oh Lord, I am distorted. Oh Lord, I am filled with deceit." But forgiveness is found in God. Did you know the very essence of who God is His nature to forgive sin? My Bible says, and yours does too, in Isaiah 55:7, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Amen. Now, this pardon, this forgiveness that David wants you to experience, that I'm trying to talk to you about, there are some conditions. Oh, I knew it. There's always conditions. There's a condition. First of all, you must confess to God. My Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, what does it mean to confess? It means to say the same thing. If God says this is wrong in your life or you have done wrong, to confess means that you say the same thing about your sin that God says. That's going to be tough to do. Don't you get up here and say, Preacher Darren's going to say, everybody stand on your feet. We're going to come down to the altar, anybody that needs to. And everybody's got one eye closed and one eye open to see who would dare walk down to the altar that I might judge them and find out what they've been up to. Let's get on Facebook and try to figure it out. And then you're the very one I'm preaching to. You're a one-eyed luster. Amen? And you're a judgy-judger. And the one that comes to the altar, don't you get down here and say, "Oh, Lord, I've made a mistake." Oh, no, honey, it ain't a mistake. It's sin. It's transgression. It is iniquity. It is guile. I'm telling you, I just made a little mistake. Honey, God already knows. Acknowledge your sin to God. Bring it to Him today and get past this physical, emotional, spiritual depression that you are in. Get amongst the company of the forgiven. God is encouraging you, thank you, Lord, to do so. Hallelujah. Well, it's conditional. You've got to confess it. He already knows. Well, number two, it's costly. It's costly. It's free to you, but it costs God everything. You see, for your sin to be forgiven, God had to send His Son to die on the cross, that your sins, your evil, your wrongdoing, your transgression, your iniquity, and my iniquity, He sent His Son to die on the cross for the wrongs that we've done. It cost Him everything. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2, "And you, being dead in your sins, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." Hallelujah. My sin nailed to the cross. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah 43:25. I want you to turn there. Turn there. Can y'all put it on the screen, please? Isaiah 43:25. I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Preacher, well then why don't you just blot it all out? Honey, He does when you confess, because He cost Him everything. His Son died that your sins might be forgiven. You can get it covered. You can get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you do, you will be changed. When David confessed, he was changed. He was restored when he confessed his sin. And when he got right with God, he found out he was getting right with everybody else. The Bible says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sins. Did you know when we have fellowship with God, when we confess our sins to God, when we get in fellowship with God, we have fellowship with each other. You find people that's fussing and fighting and all the time getting their feelings hurt. Well, I didn't like the way you looked at my kid. If I come home, I said, Mama, they looked at me funny. My mama slapped me up the back of the head and slapped me in the front of the head and she'd say, how you looking at me now? Get over it. I'm not taking your side. Get past it. You're going to grow up and be a fine young man one day. For all the time I thought I was going to be a bitter young man. Man, I got picked up by my ears. Amen. But thank God it's what I needed to get my wax out of my ears and to hear what my mama had to say. And she raised me and trained me right. Hear me. Every little thing touching your little feelings and you get bent out of shape about it, you know why you're out of fellowship with one another? Because you're out of fellowship with God.
Amen. Don't you tell me I'm out of fellowship with God.
Hear me. Hear me well. You are out of fellowship with God if you're out of fellowship one with another. Well, we'll talk to you when you go up to the crosses at 5:30 and straighten you out. Amen. Go right ahead. Show me the Bible where I'm wrong. If you take this piano, and if we had two violins or two harps, and we set them on this piano and we tuned them together. If you struck a note on this piano, those same chords would begin to vibrate on those harps or those violins. Now, you hadn't even plucked them, but they could, you know why? Because if they are in fellowship with the main piano, as soon as that main piano is touched, they're in fellowship with you. They're in tune with each other because they're in tune with, oh, hallelujah. Amen. I'm feeling right well right now. Preacher, I don't like it. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness? It's putting away. It's remitting. It's doing away with your sins. Just the Bible says in Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Micah 7:19. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Isaiah 38:17. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Boy, I love the good shepherd, don't you? He leaves the 99 and He goes after the one that's gone off in sin and transgression and iniquity and in guile. And He goes when that little lamb cries out and says, I've sinned. Oh, forgive me. I've done wrong. The wolves and the jackals are going to take me. Help me, good shepherd. Please, I've done wrong and rescue me. Boy, He's attentive to that cry. Glory to God. He comes a running over there. He snatches up that little lamb. Maybe it's dirty and filthy. Maybe the wolves have nipped at it. It's bloody on its backside. He puts that little lamb. Maybe it's hurt its knee and scuffed up and can't walk anymore and kind of crippled. He picks it up, puts it on his back and comes walking back. Glory to God. Comes walking back into the rest of the flock. And the rest of the flock says, ooh, look at him. He's bloody. Ooh, look at him. Children, look away. Look away, children. We don't want to see that. Oh, it's this. And then mama's over there looking. Look what happened to him. And somebody says, good shepherd, look what happened to that sheep. What happened to him? And the good shepherd says, I don't see nothing. What are you talking about? Well, what sin are you talking about? I don't remember it anymore. All your sins have been cast behind the back of the good shepherd when you confess. Hallelujah to God. What a Savior. Amen. Isaiah 44:22. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and thy sins. In other words, your sins have been erased. Hebrews 8:12. Their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Your sin has been forgotten. Amen. Man, I feel preaching. Y'all praying for me. Help me preach. Look at number 3. We're going to go to verse 5. I'm thinking about the brightness of confessed sin. He says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Mine iniquity have I not hid. Wait a minute, preacher. Wait. All that time, it was unconfessed. He hid it. Yeah, but what he's saying is, when I started confessing, I didn't just confess a little bit of it. I told it all. I got right with God about every single thing. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Look at that verse. Look at it. Look, are you looking at it? No, you're looking at me. Look down, look your head down and look at your Bible. Or look at it on the screen if they can put it up. I want to look at verse 5, Psalm 32, 5. Look at it. The word, the pronoun, I, my, mine, I, my, and my again. Eight personal pronouns. Eight. All about, eight is the number of new beginnings. He said, when I confess to you, Lord, you gave me a brand new beginning. I'll tell you something. The other night when God come by on a Tuesday night about 1 o'clock in the morning, I guess it's Wednesday morning, but when He come by from 1 to 3 and stayed there with me, I'm telling you what, God spoke to me and He said, I want you to know this is a new day. I'm granting to you a new day. And God gave me a new love. And God gave me a new burden. And God gave me a new desire. And God has been good in my life. And God's touched my voice. And God's touched my strength. And allowed me to stand up one more time. Hey, He could have took me home. And that would have been all right too. But He left me here just a little bit longer to give us a new beginning. Amen. And God is interested in you getting a new beginning today as well. David acknowledged his sin. David had unmasked his sin, all of it, and he confesses his sin. He's no longer silent. Silence had a hold of him. But when he started confessing, he's not silent anymore. He's confessing to God. Psalm 86:5. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. David had lusted, God forgave. David had manipulated Bathsheba into committing adultery, and he used her, but God forgave him. David has made Bathsheba a widow, and God forgave him. David took Bathsheba and made her the bride of her husband's murderer, and God forgave him. Her husband, Uriah, has been deprived of his very life, and yet God, in His infinite mercy and His grace, forgave him. And you're telling me that whatever you're going through, it's too big for God to forgive? Honey, you don't know how big Jesus is who died on that cross, that my sins and your sins, all of them, could be under the shed blood of Calvary. Hallelujah. David's sin is great. But before sin had claimed any victims, before that little baby died, before Uriah died on the battlefield, David premeditated and planned it all out. Before it happened, his sin was an insult to God. You hear me for a minute? Only God can remove your offense through the blood of Jesus Christ. The governor can't do it. The U.S. president can't do it. The Supreme Court, honey, can't do it. One of these days, the old Antichrist, He'll not be able to do it. There's only one person that can forgive your sin and mine, and His name is Jesus Christ. You confess your sins to God, and God forgives. Here you go. God's looking down. He says, Seth, sin again. That's two of the same kind, but that other one's different. And Seth goes, Lord, I've sinned again you. The Lord says, it's a new day. Sin. Seth said, oh, I've been sorry, rascal. Please forgive me. God says, new day. I messed up. I got 5, 6, 7, 10, 15. God, will you forgive me? I'm a sorry scoundrel. I love you, Lord. I want to do right, but my flesh does wrong. Gets up again. Now God doesn't go and say, oh, wait a minute. No, wait a minute now. He did that. He did that same one on Monday. I'm going to go, no. When, glory to God, God doesn't have a clipboard keeping tick marks, honey. When God forgives you, It's taken away. It's removed. It'll never be remembered anymore. You won't have to face it. It's gone, gone, gone. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In the Old Testament, our brother was talking about the Old Testament earlier. In the book of Leviticus, God told Moses and Aaron, said, I want you to go get two goats. And the one goat, I want you to take him and offer him as a sacrifice for sin. Shed his blood. It's a picture of Christ one day. The other goat, I want you to put your hands on his head. And I want you to confess all the transgressions and all the iniquities, all the sin of the children of Israel. Confess it all. Lay your hands on his head. Well, we're sorry, Lord. We're scoundrels. We're sinners. We've cheated. We get our feelings hurt all the time. We judge people. We're murderers. We shed innocent blood. We're gossips. We're tattletales. God, our heart's not right. Our motives are not right. God, our nation's not right with you. God says, good, good, good. You confess it all. Now, what do you want me to do with that goat, Lord? You want me to kill him too? No. I want you to take him to the wilderness. Come on. Come on. No, I don't want to go. Come on. He takes him to the wilderness. And he says, go. And he lets him go free into the wilderness. That's your sin. Never to return anymore. Gone. Taken away. Removed. Jesus shed his blood that our sins might be forgiven. And they're gone, honey. As far as the east is from the west, they're erased. They're behind his back. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. What a blessing today. Will you look again at verse 1? I'm concluding now. I'm getting tired, and I know you are too. I could tell. Blessed is he. That's an expression of joy. Welcomed into the presence of joy. Guess who we are? Sinners. All of us sinners. But saved by grace. Has your transgression been forgiven? You're blessed. Has your sin been covered? You're blessed. Has your sins and your transgressions been exonerated? In other words, he doesn't impute iniquity to you. How about your guile? Hey, friend, it's been done away with. I want to just say a couple things and I'm done. Number one, this great forgiveness, receive it. Accept it. Get rid of that sense of guilt. If God has forgiven it, receive it. Receive it. Well, Preacher Darren, God's forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. I'm struggling. I still know what I did, and I think it's, I might still be in there. Well, confess it to God again. I know I do confess it to God, but it just, are you greater than God? Is your standard above God? God's righteousness and his holiness, is yours greater? Do you shake your own hand? Oh, no. You see, he's greater. And if God forgives it, honey, it's gone. It's removed. And God wants you to be free. And if you don't accept it, you'll never be free. One more thing. Once you receive and accept forgiveness, you need to practice forgiveness. Since God has forgiven us, we're to forgive others. Now, hold it! I draw the line right there! Well, let me give you a Bible. Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Jesus said, if you have aught, forgive. And if you don't forgive each other, neither will I forgive you or my Father forgive you. You want, well, wait a minute. Don't even come down here and try to confess anything to God. Don't pray about your sick family member. Don't ask God to protect you on the way home that you don't get killed in a wreck. Because if you've got all against somebody by regard iniquity, he won't hear your prayer. Whether there's been times my prayers got answered, no, somebody else was praying, you just didn't know. Preacher, I didn't like that. Honey, I'm just trying to tell you the honest truth this morning. When you are wrong, confess your sins and be forgiven. And when you are wronged, when someone's hurt you, forgive. Preacher Darren, I just don't seem right. It seems like it's always my turn. Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's always your turn. In other words, you're selfish anyway. You always want it to be your turn. Now it's always your turn. When you're wrong, confess it. When you're wrong, forgive it. I had a person one time wrote me a letter. I mean, it was cruel. I cried. Signed their name. Man, it hurt me so bad. And I wept and wept. Honestly, I got my Bible, got me something fired up. I was going to correct them. God said, no, forgive them. Let it go. And I did. And about 2, maybe 3 years later, I got another letter. I said, Pastor Darren, I wrote you a letter and I hurt. I know I hurt your feelings. And I want to tell you something. I've been in a bad way ever since. God, won't you hear my prayers? I've mistreated you. I've misjudged you. I've seen how that whole thing turned out. And I didn't understand. And I'm asking you, could you find it in your heart to forgive me? I cried over that too. And I got me a piece of paper out. And I said, you are already forgiven. The very first day that you wrote that letter, God showed me to forgive you. And I'm not trying to be spiritual, super spiritual. I'm just trying to be right with God. Because if I harbored that for 3 years, I would have been in the same prison as you. Are you hearing me this morning? You need to get this right. It's in your family. You need to get this right. It's in your workplace. You need to get this right. It's in your place of worship. And when you get this right, well, they've done me wrong. They did Jesus wrong too. He forgave them. Well, I'm not Jesus, but He lives in you. Okay, Preacher Darren, if I lay it down, don't listen. If you lay it down, don't you keep score. And sometime later, say do something else. You go, well, so there it was.
Remember what you did to me.
Preacher Darren, we'd never do that. Wait a minute, no. That was this one. Let me tell you something. Best thing you'll ever do is let them go and forgive them. Because when you do, you set yourself free. The king, back in the old days, wanted to go visit a new land that they had just taken into their territory. And he got on board a galley ship where the prisoners were rowing down below. And they were sailing to the new land. And the king said to some of his guards, he said, I want to go below and see how those men are. And he went down. And he said to one of them, he said, sir, why are you here? And the prisoner said, I don't know why I'm here. I was in the middle of a crowd when a crime was committed. And they arrested me and let everybody else go free. But truly, I'm innocent. The king turned to another across the way and said, why are you here? He said, sir, the enemies have lied on me. And I'm not guilty. I'm a victim of false witnesses. He turned just up 2 rows and he said, why are you here? I was raised. My parents abandoned me and my parents didn't raise me right. And I had to turn to a life of crime. But it's my parents' fault. And finally, as he went to each one through the galley, all the prisoners were blaming other things in their lives as to why they were innocent. He came to one man. He said, why are you here? He said, sir, I'm here because I've sinned. I'm guilty. I deserve to be here. I've sinned against God. I've sinned against my parents. I have stolen. And now I'm paying the penalty for my sin. And when the king heard that prisoner's confession, he stepped back and he said to all the guards, look at this man. What a scoundrel. What a scum. How dare you allow a guilty man be amongst all these innocent men? And I say to you, set this man free. Unshackle him from his chains and let him go today. When he confessed his sin, that he was guilty and deserved what he was getting, he was set free by the king. It may just be that today, when you confess to him, he sets you free.
It just may be today that when you set somebody free, so-and-so's hurt my feelings. So-and-so's hurt my children. So-and-so's hurt my husband. So-and-so's hurt my wife. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get mad and leave the church. I'm going somewhere else. I'm going to find me another preacher that'll preach what I want to hear. Honey, you won't be blessed there either. You see, because God knows. God knows. And He'll work everything out to where this thing's going to keep being heavy and resurfacing until you get right. I'm wore out, but I'm done. You stand to your feet this morning. I want to. Seth, you're going to play the piano. I want you to play just as I am. I want you to come down here and I want you to tell Him, God, I'm guilty. I'm coming just as I am without one plea. Lord, I'm coming down here. Lord, I'm not deserving of anything. And Lord, I want to confess to You my wickedness, my transgression. God, I want to get right with You today. God, I want to let so-and-so go today. I want to let my sister, my brother, my husband, wife, my children, my parents, God, my friends, God, I want to let them go. Oh, man, revival will come in your family. Revival is going to come in your life if you just let God have His way. Help us, Lord Jesus, today to be honest with You. Oh, God, help us today. You know what we need, Lord. Oh, help us, Jesus. Father, this morning, on bended knee, I bow before the King and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Transgression. Sin, iniquity, guile, trespass, guilty of all, sir, guilty. Lord, I confess to You, Lord, my judger. I confess to You, Lord, my prideful ways. God, I confess to You, Lord, our church, we need to humble ourselves in Your sight. God, we need to do what You say. And not our way, but Yours. Lord, would You forgive us? Lord, we've had revival this week. Lord, I pray that right now, You'd help somebody to really have revival. To walk out of this place today in the house of the Lord and say, "Whoo, it's all gone. It's all gone. Jesus has forgiven me of it all. And this is a new day." Lord, I pray that You'll touch today. And Lord, I want to thank You for Your forgiveness that You've given to us, You've granted. God, You've been so gracious. And Lord, I praise You. And Lord, I want to confess to You now, God, I am certain that You're going to help us, Lord, in the coming days to see if we've learned, because we're going to have to practice forgiveness. We can't just talk about it. We've got to practice it. Lord, would You help us to do so? And for this favor, we pray, holding You, Father, at Your promises and the covenants You've made in the Word of God, that when we confess, You'll forgive, You'll cast it, You'll take it away. God, You'd revive and refresh. God, Your promises declare it. And You're as good as Your Word. I thank You for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.